tune in. I think you'll enjoy it. And, John, God bless, and we'll see you next time.
Down in the heat of the battle. He may get me down here and get me low, but brothers and sisters, he can't keep me down because I'm victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
I remember a time I thought I was standing, and I took for granted our foe. I let down my guard, became lax in duty, then I suffered a sharp pain for blow. And I recall as I lay on that cold battlefield, wondering if I would survive. Listen, then I saw in the distance an old blood-soaked banner that brought to my courage new life. I might have gone down in the heat of the battle, but don't count me out of the fight. I still bear the scars where I have been wounded. It looks like they'll be there for life. But soon this conflict will end. For God's mighty army, it will be worth the toil and the strife. I might have gone down in the heat of the battle, but don't count me out of the fight.
Lord, I feel it today. This is what Jesus did for you.
As Jesus once walked up the hill of Golgotha, knowing what waited ahead, an army of angels listened for orders to wipe out this whole world instead. But he looked through the battle and saw a great victory, denying himself for the cause. Though he still bears the scars from the heat of the battle, he overthrew evil for all. Yes, he did. I might have gone down in the heat of the battle, but don't count me out of the fight. I still bear the scars where I have been wounded. It looks like they'll be there for life. But soon this conflict will end. For God's mighty army, it will be worth the toil and the strife. Yes, it will. I might have gone down in the heat of the battle, but don't count me out of the fight.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening. Glad to be here on a beautiful night in the Ozarks.
Amen, amen. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
And we thank you for joining us. And men, I'll stay tuned. We'll be here on the phone lines and let you know when your callers call in. And looking forward to a great evening.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And everybody, we do welcome you to Hope is Alive, the show about testimony. And what is that testimony? Those that were set free in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, feel free to go to the website, deliveranceusa.com. You can email us if you need to. And just about everything we talk about each week is there at the website. Also, you can get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. And it is a perfect manual written down using scriptures and experience to show you how you can cast out demons. And, Pastor, I would like to say a gospel here, talk a little about the gospel. We are told in the Great Commission to go out in all the world, preach the gospel to all creation, to baptize, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, speak in new tongues. These are some of the things of the Great Commission, and I would have to say that I haven't met too many people in my life that fulfilled that part of the Great Commission more than Howard, our dear friend who has departed us, has gone on to receive his reward, and just wanted to mention that because over the past few years I've really got to know him and had a lot of sweet fellowship with him. We've done a couple of deliverances together. I'll definitely have those in my memory, and he was definitely a warrior for deliverance. When he caught it, he took off with it. He was working with Brother Brad in Alaska. They had even, I believe, rented a hall to start doing deliverances. And he had really touched a lot of lives. And I was going to be sorely missed. But we do have the hope. And what is that hope? Go to John 11. And it said, this is Jesus talking to Martha, and he says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is chapter 11, verse 21. Even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her these glorious words, I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And I know our brother Howard believed that. I believe that. I know Pastor Cox believed that. I know Richard believed that. I know many people on this program listening believe in it, and that's the promise that we have of the resurrection. And if we believe in Jesus, we will never die.
Yes, and certainly I'm in full agreement, and he, Brother Howard is in a place that he probably doesn't want to come back from now. That seems to be what people have so typically commented when they had near-death experiences. But we'll miss him. The last time he was in Oklahoma City, I had a couple of days spent with him. His plane didn't leave for a couple of days, so we had lunch and fellowshipped at the ministry office, and I'll dearly miss him. He was the perfect image of a man that would drive those big trucks from Fairbanks up to the north part there where the oil activities is, and that 500 miles. He was certainly, he played the part and he looked the part. We'll sure miss him.
Amen.
He was quite a spiritual brother, and yes, running with deliverance and setting people free there in Fairbanks.
Yes. Yes, he will be. Well, Pastor, here we are another week. It's coming. The week is coming gone. It seems like it takes forever to get there. Then when it's here, it seemed like, hey, weren't we just on the radio? And how did this
seems
Monday
like
go? I know. I've seen the deliverance reports, but I'll let you go ahead and give an update to everybody.
Well, we had another 14. It's been amazing to me. We've had 14 people for ministry. I guess it seemed like the last 3 Mondays at least, maybe more. It's almost a supernatural number, it seems. We had enough ministers for each person. And, you know, I greet them when they come in the door, and I ask them, have you been here before? And there's certainly 95% of them, 90% anyway, for sure, said they were there for the first time. And that's typical of every Monday. So it's amazing how the Lord sends people to us. There was 2 from out of state, one from Kansas City, and let's see, one from, I think it was Texas. So it was another great evening. I had a head demon case, and went very well. And she got a Jesus overhaul as well. So, and then I had a 5-hour deliverance here today at the ministry office. And it went well. I was not able to get the head demon up. I did basic of working the problem list. But it went well, and she looked like she got her Jesus overhaul herself when she left. You can usually see in a person's face how they look younger and they look more relaxed, and they have a peace about them that they typically didn't have when they came in. So I'm still on a high from ministering to her earlier today.
Oh, praise the Lord. And they do always look younger. The majority of people that I've worked with have always had kind of a scowl on their face when they come in, you know, kind of a scrunched forehead, anxiety, tenseness. A lot of times people are scared when they get ready to have deliverance, which it is normal because, as I've told them, I said, those demons know they're getting ready to go somewhere and they don't want you to be here, so they're causing the fear. And when they go through deliverance and you cast out those evil spirits, it's like they have a facelift.
Yes, yes. And, you know, there are some people that are nervous when they come because they've seen the movies. And our ministry sessions are typically very low-key, as they are just about every Monday night. Seldom we ever have an outcry. It does happen. But it's not very often, and most people are sitting there feeling the spirits come out with some yawns, coughs, or burps. It's pretty typical, but it's no big deal. Everyone's sitting nicely in their chairs, and finally we get them there to the goal line.
Yeah, I was witnessing deliverance to a person the other day, and I think we're going to go through deliverance this Sunday. But I said to her, I said, well, you know, she said, well, what to expect? And I talked about a little bit of this, a little bit of that, like we usually discuss here, some burping, yawning, the normal stuff. And I said, but I've yet to see, I said, I have seen some outcries, some heavy manifestations. I said, but I haven't seen anybody's head spin yet.
No, I haven't either after 40 years of doing it. But the movies was good about it.
Yes. Yes. Well, I believe that's the enemy that doesn't want this the truth of deliverance getting out, so they make it so frightening and supernatural people will avoid it or don't know what to expect and don't want to stay away from it. But that's not the way it goes. And, I mean, our Lord definitely faced some heavy manifestations, but he said the simple words, be silent to them, and it would silence those spirits, and we could do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Tell those spirits to be silent, because we don't have just a little authority. We don't have some authority. We have all authority. And that authority has been granted to us by our Lord, given to us as a battlefield commission. And if we just walk in it and exercise it, there's nothing to fear. And that's what I told this this lady, that there will be nothing to worry about, because we're in charge. We're in charge. We're in charge.
And we have God's angels at our backs to call upon. I teach the teams that, and we've done this all these years. I learned it, luckily, very early, well, 40 years ago now, and when there was some violence taking place in a ministry that I was watching, and this pastor said to the violence, in Jesus' name, be still. Violence, be still. And this guy got a, it was like something got hold of his arms, and he couldn't move. And I thought, wow, that was sure neat, and I'm so thankful I learned that early, because as the decades have gone by, we've, you know, on occasion have needed to use that and shut any violence down immediately, and we never hold anybody at Deliverance Ministries. The angels hold them at our request. And it's awesome to see. It's a supernatural sign by itself.
It is. That pastor, when you talked about 14, seems to be a common number that comes up at Deliverance. I had asked Brother Richard in a text if he had Bollinger's Book of Numbers handy, and if he could tell me what 14 meant. He just sent it to me, and it says 14 be a multiple of sevens. Partakes of significance, and being double the number implies a double measure of spiritual perfection.
Well, that's very interesting. Yeah.
I knew seven was a spiritual perfection, and I imagine that 14 had something to do with that, because it being a multiple of it. But that number just seems to be pop up quite a bit in the witnessing, and that is what spiritual perfection is when we're casting them out. We're using the power of the Holy Spirit, which is spiritual perfection.
Yes, and we'll, you know, have different ministers there, trained ministers that have gone through our training. They not everyone comes every Monday night, but what's amazing about it is when I get the count, we'll have exactly the number we need.
Well, the Holy Spirit coordinates better. I witness that all the time. I have people with my business will ask me this and that, and I'll tell them that I have found that if I just get up in the morning, ask the Lord to take care of things and to coordinate it, that I really don't have to work very hard at my business. I can concentrate on other things like my family, the Word, my thoughts, prayer. And every time I try to plan something, it seems like it doesn't work as well. So I just say, Lord, it's all in your hands.
Well, he's the coordinator, especially if we ask him to be.
Yes.
I pray that every Monday, and it is most amazing how that works so well. Praise God.
Pastor, we have our first caller, Arlen. And before we bring Arlen on, I want to say, everybody, that I had the opportunity to speak with Arlen for about an hour Tuesday. He lives in the area down here. I knew that he'd give a testimony through email, and I asked Pastor Cox if I could get a hold of him. I got his number. We spoke for about an hour, had a wonderful conversation. He has a great testimony. I look forward to hearing it. And, Arlen, we do thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, Brother Ralph, thank you very much. It was a blessing to meet you and talk to you and be here with Brother Cox. It means so much to my life. So, yeah, thank you much.
Great to have you on, Arlen. And I know you have an interesting testimony. And so why don't you just go ahead and give some history on yourself and how you learned about deliverance and what you experienced in your deliverance and have seen.
Yes, sure enough, I will. Now, I had a serious problem since I was probably born. I remember my mom and dad had told me that they even took me to a psychiatrist when I was about 5 years old, and I vaguely remember that, but because I had such rage. My mother had told me that I would roll around on the floor as a baby and literally tear my own diapers off my body. And it was quite interesting. And then later on in life, as I remember, when I was a kid, I go to a vacation Bible school at a Baptist church as a young boy, about 10 or 11, I think it was, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I've never forgotten that. And so as I went along, but my mom and dad got saved about the same time. And so they'd take me to church. Before I go to church, I would try to put on my shirts, and I would get so angry, I would just rip my shirts off, and the buttons would fly everywhere. So I always had this rage, anger problem, and I battled it for years. Now, I didn't know about things like generational curses and door openings for demons. I never heard of this kind of thing ever in my life. When I got to college, I still had the problem, and I knew some folks that I could go to a church and get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, man, I want that, you know. And I said, that will solve my problem. And I went. It was supernatural. I spoke in tongues, and I felt that I'd draw closer to the Lord. But do you know, I could not overcome those problems of rage and anger. I was always frustrated. I got married, went on, and I continued to have those problems. I had my own business for 20 years, and it seems like I could control certain things, but it was just overwhelming to me. The only time I felt I had relief was if I was asleep, and that was even a problem. But it affected my marriage greatly, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I felt at times that I was not born to be a Christian, or maybe I shouldn't be one. And I used to cry to God and say, you got to do something. I don't understand this. I feel like a hypocrite, the way I live and the way I get angry and all these kinds of things. And I really need your help, but I don't know where to go. And I had purchased probably all kinds of books on anger from all kinds of Christian organizations that you could think of, and I was trying to put a foot forward. I even went to a psychiatrist as an adult, and that didn't work. I went to counseling. I took psychotropic drugs for a while, and that's where I couldn't deal with that, and I just got off of them about as fast as I got on them, I just didn't know that there could be an answer. And from my history also that I discovered was, on my dad's side of the family, his grandmother, which is my great-grandmother, they came to Kansas City, Missouri, and in the turn of the century, and they had some money, and they bought a big home with the big parlor doors that slide, pocket doors that slide. But she had demonic seance, and she was into the occult big time. I learned that she had five sons that were Freemasonry, which would be my dad's uncle. Then my dad's mother, who's my grandmother, she was in the occult, and so was one of my aunts. My dad wasn't in Freemasonry or any of that, but, he was from that lineage, which I found and discovered that will really take a toll on your life, because the devil has these door openers, which I didn't know about then. And there were some things that happened in my life as a young boy with my dad that, and I'll just tell you, it's easy to talk about at this point because I had forgiven my dad and all those things, but I had extreme unforgiveness towards my dad all the way through high school, all the way through college, and as an adult. I don't remember what I did as a boy. I was probably 10 or 11 or 12, and I did something, I guess. I don't remember. But my dad took me down the basement. He always had threatened me with his big, thick leather military belt. And he made me strip my clothes 100% off, and he beat me with that belt. And at that point, I was scared of my dad, and I hated him. And so I went on. And by the way, my dad passed away a few years ago, and the last 7 years of his life and mine was the best I ever had with my dad, and I'd forgiven him, and I loved him so much. But anyway, as time went on, it was affecting my marriage, the divorce, some deal, all different kinds of things, and I had lost a lot in my time there, and I just thought, God, I don't know why I can't be a normal human being. And I called a friend of mine, and he talked over the phone, and he said, Arlen, I think part of your problem is you have really unforgiveness towards your dad. And I said, well, yeah, I can tell you I do. I practically hate the man. And he said, well, listen to what you got to do. You need to forgive him. And I told him, I said, I can't do that. And he said, well, you can't do that with your emotions, but you got to say it by faith, man. And so I did, and I said, okay, I forgive my dad. He made me say those words. And, you know, there was somewhat of a dam broke open, and I started crying, and I said, I think I forgave my dad. But I still had things, and within that next week, which was in the fall of 2009, here's what happened. I just began to wonder, what else do I need to do? I don't know. My life was still kind of a mess. So the Lord, I heard this thing, and it said, go to the computer and type in the word deliverance. Now, I was expecting, and it did come up. I thought, man, what's that word? I don't even understand that, and what can I do? And it came up, and I thought, well, it's that deliverance movie, and I didn't want to look at that because I didn't even like that movie. I'd seen it before, and it was just terrible. I thought, God, what are you doing here? I don't even understand this. And I just kind of scrolled down. I was just I just wasn't sure what I was going to entail here. And there were some websites. I didn't look at any. I clicked on one, and that was Deliverance Ministries, Inc. And it was just supernatural. And so I scrolled down. I saw this guy that was on there and the phone number. But here's what was very interesting that got me to call that phone number. Back then on Deliverance Ministries, Inc.'s website, there was this cross that was animated. And it would turn, and then there was these chains, and these chains just broke. And out of the chain, in the middle of that broken chain came, and there was all these different chains, and these words came out like drug addiction, pornography, rage, anger. I mean, every kind of addiction or bondage you can imagine came out of that. And I looked at that, and I go, wow, that's interesting. So it really caught my attention. And then it said, have you ever had any of these kind of problems, or do you have some of these problems, and you can't seem to get over it? And of course, I was by myself, and I was just shaking my head, yes, I'm saying that out loud to myself, yeah, I have these kind of things. And have you ever tried all these other things? And it listed all the things I just shared with you about support groups, counseling, and psychiatry, drugs, whatever. And none of this worked. And it says, could you believe that you could be set free of these and really have your life changed? And I thought, I would love that, but it was hard for me to believe. But I figured, I've tried everything in life. I need to go ahead with this. What am I going to lose? Because my life's already a mess. So I scrolled down, and there was this man's picture on there, and there was this phone number. And I thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to call this phone number. But I really didn't know what I was going to say if I did call it. But I called the number. It was on a Thursday afternoon. I'll never forget this. And that man's picture was on his phone. I don't know if you remember this. I talked to him about almost 10 years ago. And so I called him. Yes. And I remember you saying that, you said, I think you picked up this phone. And I said, well, I found this website. Got this phone number off of it, and I read about it, and I decided I'd call it, but I don't really know what to say or ask about it. And he said, well, I'm Brother Cox. And he said, I don't normally answer the phone at this time of the afternoon. He said, but I felt like the Lord had me do it. He said, so what's your name and let's talk. And so that's my recollection of that. And I said, well, and so Brother Cox started asking questions and all of this and shared all that I knew. And he asked if I could get down there on a Monday night. I said, man, my job won't let me. I can't do it. I don't know what to do. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, you need deliverance. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to get over there. You've got access to a printer or a computer. I said, yeah. You print off the suspect list. And he said, and check anything you rub shoulders with in your life from the time you can remember all the way through. And I said, okay. And so he said, tomorrow I'm going to be going to Tulsa with my wife, and she's going to drive, and I'll try. We'll just do it over the phone for you. And he said, I don't think they'll manifest. He said, but we'll get you delivered because you need it. And so I did, and there was 54 things that I checked. I didn't know, and so the next day we called. He called, got together on the phone. He was traveling. We were talking, and he went over the list with me, and he said, Arlen, you got 54 demons. I said, wow. He said, and let me tell you, he said, we have people that come to us. The average people that come to us have an average of about 36 demons that control their lives. And I said, well, I've got 54. And he said, it's possible you might have even more, but you've got that you've checked. And so went over everything with me on the phone, and he said, we're going to cast these things out. And he told me this. He said, now listen, I don't want you to talk, and I don't want you to pray. I just want you to listen over the phone. And he said, now they come out by the breath. You might belch, you might yawn, you might cough, whatever. But we're going to get them out because I'm going to cast them out of you. I said, okay. And so I had the phone, and I was listening to him, and I did not have any colds. I did not have any sickness, no nothing. But I started coughing and convulsed coughing from down deep, and I kept coughing and coughing. And Brother Cox said, you're okay. They're coming out. You're coughing them out. He said, I'm going to continue. And he continues on. And pretty soon, I coughed. I blew my head off practically. And then all of a sudden, it was done. And it was, I could tell something had happened, literally. And Brother Cox says, well, how do you feel? And I said, wow. I said, man, there's like a ton of bricks gone off my shoulders. I don't understand it, but it's really, it really feels that way. And then he said, is there anything else? And I said, yeah. And I get tears every time I tell this testimony, even to this day. And I said, Brother Cox, I don't know how to say it with words, but if a person can hear peace, I think I've heard peace for the first time in my life. And I could tell my whole body, my whole emotions, my whole everything was just at peace and relaxed in a way I had never felt before. And he told me, he said, now, this is good. He said, these are cast out. And he said, now, you're going to change. And he said that your soul is changed by these things, but your soul is going to heal. And I said, well, that's great, you know. So got off the phone, and I started going with life a little bit. And then a few months later, not too long after that, I went to my cousins in Arkansas and spent some time there. And she had 100 acres and an extra mobile home, so I stayed in the mobile home. And through this process, I was wanting to know these things about deliverance. You know, I didn't know what all this is about. So I went back to Brother Cox's website, Deliverance Ministries, Inc., and started reading that. And the Lord had me pick up a couple of books that I never even knew there was books about deliverance on the market. And I got Pigs in the Parlor, and I think it was Don Dickerman's book, When Pigs Move In. And I read those. I began to read them. And this has been, you know, like I say, probably 3 or 4 months after I'd been delivered, and I started learning about this, and had an appetite to do it. And one evening I was on the computer. I had the books open. I was just really putting this stuff into my brain and my heart. I just wanted to learn so much, and I was eating a bowl of chili, you know. And I was doing a bit, fixed myself some chili, and I was eating on it, and I dropped the chili on the floor there right in front of me, right in front of the computer and everything. So, I went back and some rags, so I cleaned up the chili off the floor, you know, and then I went and ate some more chili, and I was dead. And then the next night, I was doing the same thing. I was doing it every night, reading and researching and learning, and I heard the chili again the next night. And I thought, oh, man, I don't want to kill any heat. That's not my, but I didn't realize. But the Holy Spirit really was talking to me. He said, no, the chilling, what you did and didn't do. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, oh, my, and I just started weeping. And it was an actual thing of the Holy Spirit showing me that my soul was healing. Because I want to tell you why. This is powerful for me. It was that I dropped that chili on the floor. You don't understand. With the demons in me, I would be in such rage. I would take that bowl of chili and I would have thrown it across the floor into a wall or through a window or whatever. That's how I operated. And it's just crazy. And I didn't do that. I didn't even think about it. I went over and cleaned up the chili and went on and ate some more chili. And I just weeped and I said, Lord, thank you. And I just raised my hands. I praised the Lord. I said, my soul is healing. I'm not like that anymore. Those demons are gone. And that was God confirming to me that my soul is healing. I will tell people out there that hear this testimony, whatever you think, if you've got problems, I'm telling you, there is a way out and you can be set free. If I can be set free, I know anybody can. And then after that, I was able to work on my flesh, to pick up my cross daily, and work on the flesh, you know, of things that I needed to work on to become more like Jesus. And I'm not there yet, but I'm getting better and better all the time, and I sure appreciate it. I will say this about the demonic. You can be demonized, and you can be tormented by demons. And all these doors, I had a lot of door openers in my life, as I found out. And I think Don Dickerman down in Texas said this. He made a statement that I totally agree with. He said, if you have demons, you cannot medicate them out, and you cannot counsel them out. You have to cast them out. And so I really appreciate Brother Cox, just thank you for working with me, and you were there for me, because the churches don't do this. I never even heard of this kind of ministry before until the Lord got me to the computer, supernaturally found your ministry, and I was able to get set free. Brother Cox helped me get set free, and it's just a miracle. Deliverance is a miracle, but I'm telling you, it really, really works. And I've never forgotten, and I tell you to this day, that I think we talked up through the 10:19, says we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And I knew those demons came back knocking on my door, but don't try to do that. And I said, demon, you get out. You have no room. I have no door that I've opened, and I'm going to continue that way, and you get out of my life. And then they go just like that, believe me. So I hope that'll help someone out there that listens to knock on the door of deliverance, and you can get set free. Thank you.
Awesome, Arlen. Awesome.
Yes, sir.
And yes, it's frustrating to all of us that so few are doing this. And it's more common in some of the other countries for people. They grew up around demonic activity. But here in America, I guess we're too sophisticated to consider there might be something spiritual like that bothering us. And yet it seems, as you mentioned earlier, we find the average Christian will have about a good 36 minimum, in most cases, spirits bothering them. Some came through the generational door and other doors they'd opened. We take people through that door-closing prayer today that pretty much pulls the rug out from under the spirits before we even get into ministry, so they're easier to work with, and that's why we seldom have an outcry. But maybe up there in Branson, Harlan, are you starting to minister to some other people?
I haven't started yet, but it's been really a blessing to meet Ralph, and I'm hoping we can do some things together. One thing I want to mention is I have Brother Cox's book, and I had you sign it too, Brother Cox, and it was Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. I have a whole lot of books on deliverance, but I got to tell you, Brother Cox is probably one of the best, to the point, simple to understand and use to do deliverance with other people. So if you need a book, I would suggest you get it, because it's fantastically laid out. And it's very easy to understand, and you can use the principles in a deliverance ministry. You know, Brother Cox, I want to tell you that I just wanted to let you know about my sister. She, when I got delivered, and I had forgiven my dad, and you had helped me with deliverance and cast all these demons out, I called my sister. And I had my sister kicked me out of her home 3 years before that because I went in a rage over some crazy thing. And she said, "Oh, you got to get out right now." And my sister's Christian. I said, "Okay." So I left, and I never did call my sister back for 2 years. I had unforgiveness towards her, too, you know. And I just didn't understand what it was the demons operating in me now that I understand. But what I did was, after that, I called my sister along this, and I said, "Sis, this is your brother." She said, "Yes." And I said, "Sis, I'm just called. I want to ask your forgiveness for the way I was at your home, and it was so wrong and everything." She said, "Oh, I already forgave you." I said, "Well, that's great." And I said, "Let me ask you, can you get Mom and Dad together? Because I want to go and ask Dad's forgiveness for the way I've treated him, and I want to reestablish right and righteous relationships." And she says, "I can do that." She says, "Well, what in the world has happened to you?" And I said, "Well, if I told you, I just don't think you'd believe it." And she says, "Well, come on, tell me." She says, "I need to know." I said, "Well, okay," because I wasn't sure she would understand this demon thing, you know. And I told her my what happened and everything. And so she got that mom and dad at her home. I was able to meet there. I hugged my dad. I realized I really had forgiven him. And, man, that made a difference in our lives. And he was demonized, too. And when demons in me and demons in him, oh, it was horrible. But after I got delivered,
yeah,
the demons in him could not really do anything to me. And I was able to love my dad no matter what he said or what he did because I realized I understood that there were demons with him. And so that worked,
right,
you know, it was good and productive. But my sister calls me 2 or 3 weeks later and says, "Hey, we're going to Oklahoma City. I talked to Brother Cox. I'm going to have him deliver me." And then if you remember her, that's, her name was Melanie DeLarco, but she changed her name to Jackie DeLarco. And you delivered her, and she had a legion in her, and they spoke, and her eyes rolled back and stuff, and they were trying to kill her all her life. And I can tell you, my sister had tons of stuff since we were kids, all the way to adulthood, that it's a miracle she's even alive. But yet, they were trying to kill her, so she got delivered of demons, and that's been a real wonderful miracle. It's grown our relationship closer, too.
That's awesome, anyway. Harlan, we're out of time.
Yeah, we got to catch you up, Harlan.
Thank you so much for calling.
And I plan on putting him to work here in the area, helping me with some deliverances. So.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Right, thank you, Ralph. I'll be ready. With. Thank you, Brother Cox. Right. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye.
He was on a roll. I didn't want to cut him off.
Yeah.
Well, Fernando, we thank you for joining us. We're sorry that we cut into a little bit of your time, but come on in and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, it's okay. No worries. That happens when the Holy Ghost starts flowing.
Amen. Well, yeah, Fernando, why don't you go ahead and you know the outline to kind of follow there. I went over it with you, so why don't you just take right off and start with the history on yourself.
So I'm 23 years old. I'm a young stallion in the kingdom of heaven, I guess, on fire. And, Deliverance Ministries with Everett, changed me a lot. They've taught me I got a lot of wisdom, and I've been able to sit in with them and to see people get delivered. It's powerful and it's beautiful at the same time because we walk around every day. We encounter more people outside of church than we do in the church, and we probably talk to more people outside of church than in the church, and we don't realize that most people have a bunch of junk and they think it's normal, I guess. But I came across the Deliverance Ministry because of this one lady, Miss Jacqueline. She's my spiritual mom. And she was telling me about it. And I was like, well, I'll go try it out. And the stuff that they were talking about was just blowing my mind. It was like, it was stretching me. And one thing that I read is a quote, and this man said, his name is Tim Sheets. He said that our generation has a fire, but we have no wisdom. And they were saying that, like Everett, people around Everett's age and older that have been in the church, they need our fire, but we need their wisdom. And I was like, man, that's so good. That's so true. Because we can go on, I can be on fire, but if I don't know how to deliver someone from emotional health or set them free from demons like this guy was talking about, just inner healing and just things that they've gone through in their past, yeah, I'd be no earthly good. So I've had a really really powerful experience of just going in there and sitting. Like this past Monday, I went, and the weighty glory of God was so strong because of the stuff that they were talking about. It was just they were speaking truth, and I feel like when you speak truth like that, deep truth that's actually biblical, it makes a way for God to come. And so I've been impacted a lot, and I've actually had my own crazy encounters. I actually told Everett about it. He mentioned I should talk about it. But there was one night I was the Holy Ghost was just strong on me, and I didn't realize. I thought I realized I knew how powerful God was, and I thought I really truly had yielded to Him. And one night I come home, and I'm by myself. This wasn't even at church. I come home, and I feel Him, and I'm like, man, it just get. His glory is getting stronger and stronger, and my flesh couldn't take it. And I just lay on the ground. And the best way I can describe it is like electricity. But it was so strong that I thought I was going to die. I was like, I was literally, I laid there, and it was so powerful that I was like, Lord, just take me. I don't even care. Take me. That's how strong it was. I thought I was going to die. And I was like, man. And that same day, it had happened to me, and I laid in the ground for like an hour and 30 minutes. And but my walk...
You were kind of down under the power, sounds like.
What's that?
Kind of down under the power of the Holy Spirit, sounds like.
Yes, sir. And so just going to deliverance has just really... made me more bold in my faith, and I just walk it out, and I'm honored, you know, to be on this phone call with you guys, and honored to know Everett and to be a part of the deliverance ministry, because most people, young men like me that are trying to be man of God, I guess you would, I don't know what you would call it. They don't know this stuff, and they go around trying to evangelize and all this other stuff. And anyone can quote scripture, but if there's you can't do it without the Holy Ghost. And that's what they teach there. And they actually, the power of God is there so strong. And I enjoy it.
Fernando, you've set in on some interesting cases, haven't you? Can you describe some of those?
Oh, yes, sir. I actually, one of the cases, there was this man, and he was dealing with homosexuality. And I've had people ask me what I think about it. I'm like, well, God still loves him. And that's all I could say, really. Until I saw someone get delivered. And this man got delivered from homosexuality, which is a spirit. And I was like, well, when I would explain to people, I was like, well, I'm pretty sure it's a spirit, dude. They were not born gay. We're not born wanting to be with men. I mean, just like First Corinthians and Romans talks about a lot about that stuff. But just to sit in and watch this man get delivered from that, I'm like, now I'm a true witness of that. No one can tell me otherwise. Just sitting in that. And same with this last Monday, there was someone, and I've never seen someone really manifest, I guess, when they were getting delivered, and watching that really stretched me. And just watching how when people are getting delivered from deep things like that, how I don't know how Everett calls it, but the sometimes a demon won't fully manifest,
hit demon.
Yes, sir.
Was talking out of her. Yeah, it got kind of gruff at a point. I think I said went after giving me the many gifts that she had. Oh my gosh, I ran out of room on the paper writing God-given gifts. And I said to the demon, is this why you fought her so hard? And it said something. Do you remember what it said back? It was something kind of gruff. Why do you think I'm here? Or something like that.
Yes,
do you remember that?
And she started laughing, like sarcastic.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, they often, that's why they're there, of course. The more gifts a person has as a Christian, the more target we are. That's why it's so imperative with people with a lot of gifts. They need to learn about deliverance in order to counter any attacks, any satanic assignments that are likely coming at them. And many evangelists and preachers and all have fallen because of those assignments. They never did get into deliverance. I remember it happening to one well-known evangelist, and he didn't believe that Christians could have demons. And then he had a sexual situation that, of course, was demonic. And it finally ruined his ministry for many years. But you see a little of all that, and it's sad that so few of the Christians have any knowledge on this. Of course, I was the same way. I didn't get into this till I was 44 years old. I didn't have the slightest. I was just like you, Fernando. And it was amazing that all this was going on as I got into it. And then I wondered, why isn't everybody doing it, you know? That was 40 years ago, and I'm still asking that. Why isn't everybody doing this? Well, the enemy's pretty good at talking people out of it.
Yes, sir.
With their life
program. I remember you telling me that you were in a deliverance, and one of them was procrastination, and the demon told you that it was so strong that he was like, we can just finish this up tomorrow. I remember you telling me that. I was like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, I put that one in my book. I have a chapter on the weird and funny things demons have said and done. And I put that one in there. It was so funny, that procrastination spirit. Let's put this off till tomorrow. I said, no, you're coming out now, in Jesus' name. And finally blew it on out. But we see some kind of funny things that we laugh about from time to time. Well, you're having a great time, I've been able to tell, in what you're learning about deliverance. And you've been coming and going through the training a while now. Are you getting close to the point to where you think you're ready to do one by yourself?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
All right. You kind of got the checklist down, I take it.
And what I realized, too, is that you guys do it out of love. Just like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells you, you can have all kinds of spiritual wisdom and speak in tongues of angels and speak in spiritual tongues and all this other stuff. But if you don't do it out of love, then it profits nothing. And I feel like that's why, and it's free. You got, like, I guess I've heard that most deliverance ministries, you have to pay. And I'm like, you don't have to pay to be delivered. You don't have to pay to be set free. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for many, like he says, is the blood that I shed for many. And so I'm like, why do we prostitute the God's word? And so you that's why you guys are so rare. And it's true gospel and true deliverance ministry. I'm grateful and I'm honored to be a part of it, you know, especially for the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that I'm receiving from you guys, and just the stuff that you guys go through in your own one-on-ones with people that you guys are in ministry with. And one thing you guys always say, you're like, it's not even you, it's the Holy Ghost. When it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, man, that's so true. Because this Monday I was gonna try it and do one by myself. Now I didn't feel like I was ready, but I hear you guys say all the time, it's like, it's not even you, it's the Holy Spirit who's doing it. And and I love how you guys acknowledge the Holy Ghost and you guys let him move, because most churches don't let the Holy Spirit move anymore. And there's no power behind it. It's just empty words, like 1 Timothy talks about, but not with you guys.
Well, I always ask the Holy Spirit to come, and I turn the meeting over to him to coordinate. And of course, I pray that in advance before I even get down there. But he seems to do that. Just, have you noticed how often it is that we'll have 14 cases? We've seen a lot of that lately, and we would have just the right number of ministers there.
Yes, sir.
Sounds supernatural, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, it does.
Well, brother, thanks so much. Anything in the last minute or so that you would say to the listeners before we wind up?
Jesus is real. Just open your heart to him, and it's all Holy Ghost. You can read the Bible, but if you don't know the creator of the Bible, you can. And if you have junk, it's all Holy Spirit. That's all I can say. The Holy Spirit will change you. Not your bishop, not your teacher, not whoever tries and preach to the word to you. It's the Holy Ghost who transforms you.
Yes. And I am so glad you're with us, because we need an army of young people too. We've got them all ages. But we need more young people, because we have quite a few young people come from ministry, all ages, actually. So it's great that you're with us, learning, and getting ready to minister on the front lines yourself. Well, thanks, Brother Fernando. Appreciate you calling,
thank
brother.
You.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes,
God bless
you, Fernando. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless. I remember him when the first time he was on, and I was very encouraged by the fact he was a young man taking on this. And we do need him. The labor is, the harvest is plentiful, and there's so few laborers. So it is encouraging when you hear a young man take on to this. There was some very young, mighty men of God in Scripture, John, the Apostle John being one, and Timothy were both young men when they started. Some even suspect they might have been in their teens. I don't know if that's the case or not. But just think of what this Bible that we read each night would be like if we didn't have those men and their testimonies and the things they did. So it's just fantastic to hear. And again, that's deliveranceusa.com. Almost everything that's talked about is there, all the tools, all the just there at the click of the Internet, or you can get doing the supernatural works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Got another Wednesday out of the way. Great testimonies. We do thank everybody for joining us this evening. Have a good week. God bless, and we'll see you next time.
God bless, everyone.